learn more and apply it for our life and study it. And just be all the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones that have lost loved ones, and Honokai family, and with all of us that are going through treatments and surgeries coming up. And just be with our outreach at a church camp coming up, and we pray that we might bring lost souls and see them get saved and labor that. And thank you for everything you've done for me. Just know our prayer, man.
Amen. Last night, we all enjoyed the introduction of our new sitcom, The Many Loves of Brother Jared, starring Brother Jared Moore, co-starring Sister Andrew Moore, and introducing Brother Malachi. And on our first episode,
and Brother Jared.
He's a son.
Boy, baby generation salvation.
Remember this for a later question. It should make the decision easier. Because if he were to die right now, where would he go? You all heard it. We'll pick it up. So last night we learned that Brother Jared married Sister Andra. For what reason?
Well, she said yes.
We won't do the follow-up of how many others did he ask before he got a yes. The first one that said yes. And he repeats that every night before he falls asleep. I married her because I love her, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. He loved her. Now, upon further examination, we discovered that initially he had great fondness for her and affection for her.
Yes.
And what did we learn that way?
Filial.
Also known as brotherly love, since the city of Philadelphia. So initially, when they got married, he had great fondness and affection for her. And in less than 3 years' time, 312 years post-art, it developed into what?
I was sure the job is a job fail.
Oh, you were half awake last night. I'm so thrilled that you got half.
And not too good English. So, whatever the correct terms of the gospel is.
What did your co-star just tell you?
Apparently, it's not. We're talking 3 years, so it's even worse.
That's why this is a sitcom, not a drama. Have you ever had spelling problems when you write on a whiteboard?
Every time.
It's amazing how the word can change when you write on a writing.
Not to mention the letters.
Yeah. Agape is the noun. Agapeo is the verb.
Okay.
So in less than 3 years, something happened that moved you from fondness and affection to agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It is the highest form of love. And agapeo is the action of agape. What do you do with this love? Well, you put it into action. What is that? Sure, cat bunny. When we talk about love commonly, we are talking about fondness and affection, and that is cloaked in emotion. They make me feel good. My heart goes pitter-patter.
Oh.
Here.
This is. Agape is not emotion. It is not emotion. Yeah. So. You make a volitional choice. The agape is a choice of the will. You choose to love the person. Well, you love them down here. You had a fondness and affection. This is what Peter was talking about when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Oh, yay, Lord, you know I really owe you. I have great fondness and affection for you." What did Jesus know that Peter was needed to do? What sort of life and passing was he going to have?
He's converted.
Why did he tell Peter at the end of this? Why did he even bring up the subject of, "Do you love me?"
Feed my sheep.
Feed my sheep. And how far would that go? What's that? And how far would that action take him? To the death. Would really not take you to laying your life down?
Yeah.
No.
Julio gets you Matthew 26. I don't know Jesus. Never heard of him. Never met him.
Excellent. Excellent. Julio gets you. Son is the one that gets you so far. I've been an attorney with Sister Caitlin. I've been an attorney for 41 years.
I know where you're at.
I can tell you don't have crow's feet, wrinkles, and be stressed, and then, you know, you just have stress. How many years have you been out?
9 years.
Yeah, it feels like 40. I've had many clients tell me, "I did not sign up for this."
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this. What are they saying? My love is filial. It is not agape. I'm fond of my spouse. I have affection for my spouse, but I didn't sign up for this. Brother Jared somehow went from fondness and affection over to agape. What's agape? It is a choice of the will for what? To be totally committed. Totally committed, unconditionally, sacrificially, for the betterment of the one that's loved.
For the Cooper.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite thing is like,
Now that your wife's here, now you're participating. I see if you're making points for the lawyer. This will be good.
I'm going to move past that. You have these like this trope in war movies or in movies with cops where they'll like be getting shot at or be in some bad scenario. They'll be like, "I didn't sign up for this." And it was like, no, you literally did. You literally signed up to be a part of the military or the police. Same thing with marriage. You actually signed up for a lifelong commitment. And saying you didn't sign up for this means you didn't understand what you were signing up for when you start is really what it means. And I think if you get to the same place, and I think we start out in the same place as New Testament church members, where you don't understand the fullness of the scriptures when you're going. You may not even quite understand totally the level of commitment that God is asking for you, but you're signing up for it anyway. You did sign up for it.
Excellent point. And next week's sitcom will be the many loves of Brother Reagan.
I'm sick six times.
Sir Caitlin, we're attorneys. We know words. And did you hear the words I heard? Yeah. Did you all hear that marriage is like war?
It's all
here. It's all involved.
No, it's ten.
Why? Private Ryan is a love story, but thank you for your observation, Miller. Now, with Filio going to Agape, it's a choice of will to commit fully, totally, without reservation. Not based upon the behavior of the love. What did you do to warrant the love of God? You talked nothing for a week. What did you do? When did God love you? When did he stop loving you?
Never.
Somehow, Brother Jared moved from filial to agape. When did that moment occur? No. When he made the choice to love his wife with all he had. Now, conveniently, we have ceremony to unite couples in marriage. And if you look at the, what do they call them? Vows. And they ask that couple to repeat these vows. What's the vow? Commitment. So death to you first.
I will.
That you will. And it's amazing, everybody says the words in authority. About half of them don't make it very far. But what it was all designed for is to make a public proclamation that you reach the point that you're going to choose agape. You're going to choose to be totally committed, unconditionally, sacrificially, to the object of your love. Now, we've seen that Brother Jared, in the many loves of Brother Jared, went from filio to agape. They went from loving his wife to really loving his wife. And then we've seen that he loved his son. Now, what sort of love do you have for your son? Is it just fondness or affection?
No.
Take him or leave him?
No, kind of like pretty attached.
Pretty attached.
Like keep him around a lot.
So
sometimes I don't like him very much, but
I've heard my mother's voice. You know my mother's voice is, I have to love you. Why did she say I have to love you? She made a commitment. But I don't have to like you, and I don't right now. So, when did the agape love for your son start?
Before he was born.
Say what?
Before he was born.
Before you ever knew him physically.
Yeah.
You made a commitment in your heart that if this stinker comes out looking like a Beaver fan, there can't be a more homelier person on the planet than me. I'm going to love him with all I got.
Yep.
And if he wants to wear orange and black clothes, dear God, I'll tear with him at a Corvette stadium going, I love him. That choice was made there. Now, we also found that Brother Jared had other loves. The apostle, he loved his wife, he loved his son. He even publicly declared he loved me. Then I asked him,
Would you
give your son for me?
No.
And we got a very honest answer.
Yes, sir.
To your amusement, my disappointment. So I'll ask it again. If I needed a heart transplant, and I was near death, and it turns out the only one on the planet that met my heart demands was Malachi.
Yes.
And you knew for certain If his heart was donated to me, I would live. So obviously, means he's dead. Would you sacrifice him for me that I might live?
My honest answer right now, no.
Not so quiet I got? That's a very honest answer. It's a very honest answer. Thank God I know Jesus. What could be you, Brother Mike? Hoping for a homeless person to match.
He just wants you to see him.
What's that?
Brother Jerry just wants you to see him. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, you would be able to
take the
paint
for blood.
You're saying that would have been fun.
In social business,
do you see how deep God may go? So we have God the Father. So love, we looked at John 3:16 last night. So love, agapeo. So loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now, when did this love exist? When did this love start? Exactly. Look back at John chapter 17, rather, John 17. Look at verse number 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That word lovest there is agapeo. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before there was anything else ever in existence, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And how do we get to Trinity? Why is that confusing? Because a misunderstanding of this one tonight. They are totally united in harmony. Why? Because each of them made a commitment to love each other. Totally committed to each other, totally sacrificing for each other, totally unconditionally, with all their being. Committed to each other. So much so that they're in unity and harmony. And he keeps giving us examples of oneness. We call it oneness. We call it the Godhead. A husband and wife are to become what?
One.
What? Have you seen to have a personality and opinion to gender?
No.
For sitcom purposes, though, they didn't get to see it, Brother Jared decided to look at his notes.
Definitely hasn't lost her opinion.
Are you both attempting to be one?
Yeah.
So you're trying to be one person.
Yes.
So what are you attempting to be? You said you want to be one. What does that mean to you?
In the Lord. Unity. Together and
also, since you're the head, you're just attempting to give her submission. We're having lasagna tonight. Put the fried chicken from Albertsons back in the freezer.
No.
That's not it?
No. In full agreement.
We're watching the playoffs tonight. I'm tired of watching The Bachelorette. Oh, how would you have it? So what does it mean to be one?
Jerry should ask me first. So my, what's the question? I don't know what that is.
Because I don't know either. I see that there are cars and roses involved, and I was intrigued with the car.
Yes.
So when I seen the roses not being given to drivers, I went, I'm out. So what does it mean, Brother Jared? trying to be one with your wife.
You all be living here.
So.
Trying to be
in the
agreement, not in the meaning of things, but in full agreement and harmony together based off of what Scott says. I mean, it's certainly in words, but
yes,
which you know, it gets tricky part of words when it needs to be one.
So, did you notice that when I asked Brother Jared last night, why did you marry your wife? I said, because I love her and want to spend the rest of my life with her. Then I asked, well, what does that mean? You know, they'll pause. Well, what does love mean? Figure pot. How am I going to define love? Well, conveniently, God already did. So this oneness with a wife is an example of what God has between the Godhead and us coming into harmony and unity with each other. Correct? We get it a little expressed a little better than this way. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting verse number 1. For I would that you know, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 3, just a freebie for you, goes back to what we spent a couple of weeks on, the knowledge, understanding, wisdom, is a mystery, and it's all hid in the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So look at verse number 2. What was Paul desiring of the brethren?
Be knit together in love.
Their hearts to be knit together in love.
Okay.
How many of you knit here? One, two, three.
What is that? You don't.
Yeah, go back.
I already noticed that.
Yeah. Being knit. What does it mean to knit?
Strings together and make.
Well, what does it mean when you say, well, what does that mean?
You put them together.
You put, and how do you put them together?
You're joining them together.
You're locking them together.
Strings.
So that all these strings become
one.
What? One fabric. All of us are wearing clothes that are woven together. Various strings. Woven together to become one, intensely united, so that the individual fibers and strings disappear into the wholeness of the garment.
Being chained.
For a purpose, for a reason, or direction.
For a purpose, a reason, and direction.
Five.
For two, again. That their hearts might be comforted. Being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. And the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, and of the Christ. But if you'd missed it there, did you know all three of the Trinity is mentioned there?
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, the Holy Spirit is mentioned as God, because most of the time when we see God, God is...
The Father.
So this time it's God and the Father and the Christ. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18.
No.
You'll be happy to know this, Brother Jared, the Old Testament does not contain Greek.
Hebrew is not much better.
What's that?
Hebrew is not much better.
Yeah, Hebrew is not much better. 1 Samuel 18, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So what happened with David and Jonathan?
They came once, and then together.
They were knit together. What was knit together?
Their soul.
Their soul. And what was knitting them together? Love. They were knit together in love. What makes the Trinity the Trinity? Why don't we just have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Why are they always together? Because of love. They're knit together because of love. So much so, they become one. Harmony, unity, oneness, Godhead. This was before there was anything else, the three of them totally committed to each other. Totally committed to each other. And we have that example of oneness being given in marriage. And how does that oneness occur? Can you be united with somebody as a one if you don't love them? Ever got there?
No.
No. You can't.
Holding the common.
That's why a lot of people end up in marriage at best filial. At best, they have fondness and affection at best. And maybe at some point, they'll reach the agape. Brother Dirtlow.
Well, as you said earlier, it's that God, they have the same purpose and the same goal and the same drive. And so it makes them one. But in Greek, right before this, in the musical life, well, Jonathan doesn't take him strength in essence to die in Goliath. 3 chapters before that, Jonathan dedicated himself to serving the Lord as a warrior. Like, he defeated those Philistines with his arm fighters, and he saw a kindred spirit in David. Hey, we have the same goal, we have the same purpose, same drive. We want to dedicate our lives. That's why they became knit together, because they both love the Lord.
Exactly right. Brother Jim.
Was Jonathan working at committing things to David for his kingship?
Brother Jim asked, was Jonathan working to say that last part again?
To turn everything over to David for kingship.
To turn
everything. In other words, that was a tremendous love to just drop that and give it up himself.
Okay. Agapio means it's a choice of the will. It's not emotion. It's a decision to commit totally, unconditionally, sacrificially to the betterment of the one love. Should Jonathan know he was the heir apparent to be king of Israel?
No,
he didn't. Absolutely he did. But instead, he preferred David. Why did he prefer David? Because God chose him, because of Brother Dirtlow was saying. They were united. Now, what causes us to be one in church? Because Brother Roger and I have so much in common?
The Lord.
Because we have the Lord in common. It doesn't take you long attending church. Sister Julianne. It's now your husband's alley off. The first few times you attended church, did you think that everybody in church was like really weird?
You know that.
Yeah. like, this is the biggest bunch of neck cases I've ever run into in my life.
It's an apology for the very second time I came here.
From you? How is this bunch of misfit congeal? You end up coming to a place that you discover very few of us have much in common in the flesh. So how is it that we come together? What's that?
Unity of faith.
Unity of faith. Oh, if you only had a scripture for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that. Try Ephesians, try chapter 4. Okay. If you only preached it slow in your Bible verses, so I know you'd already given 3 verses out on that.
It's not only.
Yeah, it's not there.
Ephesians 4:13.
Okay, say it.
So we all come into the unity of the faith, now the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, to measure the stature of the fullness of God. It's the unity of the faith.
It's the unity of the faith. And what brings us to that unity of the faith? It's the love we have of God. Love of God that unites us together. What united Jonathan and David? The love of God. You mean you love God the way I love God? Yeah. David proved it. Jonathan proved it. And Jonathan said, I'm proving it because I love you so much. I'm giving you my robe. I'm giving you my signet. That is always the symbol of authority. He risked his life to protect David. He gave his life in service to his father. This guy knew what love was, and he expressed agape across the board. So did David. Brother Jerry, Brother Daniel, and Brother Jerry.
And I try to bring this out often, but even in my own brain, I hear and I know the definition of love, that it's a commitment, it's a giving over. But I know in my brain, when I hear love, I often think of the affection or the feel.
Yeah.
And so I have to edit my own brain. And so understand that the world does not understand this. Kind of going to Brother Dixon was talking about last night. This is a gift of God. This is charity is a gift, spiritual gift of God. To really understand this, you've got to get into the word and see it. And then you've got to understand what he means. It's not this, oh, I just have a great affection when you said love. No, it is, I am committed to it.
Yes.
You are committed, given over to it. I love being given over to it. Then we have that unity.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That's where Peter was at. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So do you really, causing him to reflect on. What sort of love am I having here? Now, you mentioned charity. Brother, something last night touched on it as well. So the word charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, guess what word that is?
Love.
Well, that's what charity means.
It's
agape. Because it's being used as a noun. It's agape. It is a gift. So it's the commitment that you make. You volitionally make that commitment.
How are we going to be able to do it? Only by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
She can cover it.
What's that?
You guys covered it.
Wow. Look at Mark or Matthew chapter 23. Now I'm going to make it 22. Matthew 22. Look at verse number 37. Well, just to make you all feel good so that Sister Caitlin and I don't get a big head, look at verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. What does that word tempting mean there? Testing. And saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love. Guess what that word is? Agapio. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How?
With all thy heart.
Every one who are. Exactly. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
It's true.
Does that sound emotional to you?
No.
Don't we have, what's that?
Sacrificial.
Sacrificial. Don't we have a, don't we all possess this, this wonderful, romantic, emotional idea of love? Have you ever heard of somebody falling in love at first sight?
Damn it.
Just watch all the old Disney movies. That was
Brother Alec, happened to him. Fortunately, Brother Jacob was married and he had to look elsewhere. We laugh at that, but people believe it. Love at first sight. What's that about? You can have affection for somebody at first sight. They match your preconceived notions of what you would like in a mate. Might be nice. Draw a picture of your, conjure up your dream hunk, your dream, and you see him in the sidewalk, and you go, wow, right there. And then they speak, and they have a high C octave voice. And you go, wow, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. This is not, we think of love as emotion that it flitters and it lands for a while and it goes away. That's not agape love. That's not real love. Real love is, what's the great commandment? So what is a commandment? It, by its nature, what is a command? Oh, Brother BJ's had long experience in the Marines and the Navy. Were you given commandments?
On occasion.
On occasion.
Like many, every day.
Like every day. They were ordered. And what was, did you have a choice in the matter?
Yes.
What was the choice?
You could follow the order, or you could disobey the order and suffer the consequences.
What's the great commandment? What is inherent in the commandment? You trade making a choice. Did you ever say to any of your commanding officers, I don't feel like it?
There were a few times, but I had good reason and I was able to justify it, and they would reconsider why I would say no.
Oh.
But for the most part, no.
Just that you didn't feel like it.
Again, you probably
just described that you had a reason. Did you say you're not feeling it?
Yeah, no.
I can't tell you over the years how many times people have told me, I just don't feel like coming on visitation. I wish I did. So that's not my ministry. You know, I'm more of the make cookies and do meetings, come to church. Well, I wish I could go out, but you see, I'm really introverted. Brother Roger's really introverted. Might shock you to know I'm extremely introverted. I have a problem, though. When I read the Bible, there's no space for me to be introverted. He says go, and I can't go until I'll check either. So I have to make a choice, a volitional choice. Do I follow the commands of God? Do I make a choice? Do I express the agape love I have? Or do I fall back to, yeah, I'm fond of him?
Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. It's a choice that you have to make. stay with your father.
Yep.
It's a choice you have to make. If you want to, you can do it. You have to deny yourself and give yourself fully to it. But it's your choice to do it or not.
Yes. And how often do you have to make that choice?
Daily.
Now watch this. How often do you have to make a choice to remain married?
Same.
Clearly. Do you realize that Brother Jared could do something today that could end his marriage?
Yeah.
So it's sort of scary to think about. Sister Andrea could do something today that could end her marriage. So when you get up this morning, you get so calm you don't even think about it. But you make a choice every day to remain married. And hopefully you make the choice to make it a better day for your marriage than what you have to do. But daily, you have to fulfill those vows. Marriages get in trouble when they don't work on fulfilling the vow, when they start taking it for granted. When you get in trouble with the Lord, with this agape love, when you take it for granted and you don't work on it. You ever been to church there out of routine and motion and just on autopilot? Yeah, we all have. That's a troubling sign. We'll stop here with Sam and that blessing on the other person. Well, the Jacksons, do that for me.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And we thank you again for another day to be here and to listen to your word. And that you would help the next two classes, that you would help our teachers, and that we would take it to heart, and that you'd help them bring out your word as you would have them, and that you'd bless us to our bodies and our bodies to serve us every day. And in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Jonathan having told David.
Good morning.
I mean, I see when my dad, I realized something ain't right.